You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It's the start of the show. Hyped up. Trades are happening. We're here for the Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm Mike Blewett, along with Matt Modica and Scott Engel today. Excited to bring you all the biggest news in Major League Baseball and NFL today. We're going to relate it all to fantasy, obviously, as we are here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, live from Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan, rocking Riley's, and we're rocking. The only thing hotter than the trade talks today is this studio. We are malfunctioning with air conditioning, but we're here to bring you the hottest takes, and this will help us to that end. So obviously we had a lot of big trades in Major League Baseball last night. It is going to impact your fantasy teams in one way or another. So it's kind of an exciting time of year. You're probably bummed if you're certain teams, but frankly, if you're a White Sox fan, Scott, you knew this day was coming, and now they've really unloaded here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, go to rotoexperts.com this morning for a complete fantasy breakdown of the trades by our Michael Waterloo, all up to date. If you're a White Sox fan, I was saying since the preseason, I heard Frazier from inside sources was going to be out of town. Now you can look forward, both as a fantasy player and a White Sox fan, to seeing Yoan Moncada being called up tonight, double figures in stolen bases and steals at AAA. And this is what the team is doing. It's what the Braves did a few years ago. They are really stocking up a minor league system. From a fantasy perspective, what does hurt is, you know, if you look at the J.D. Martinez move, you're losing a player maybe to another league, depending on your league rules. You either A, lose the player, or B, you're going to have to spend most or all of your fab to go after a J.D. Martinez. You know, as far as the Yankees are concerned, and the closer situation actually for the White Sox is everybody was stashing Tom Lee Canley, but now it might be Anthony Swarzak quote closing for the White Sox.
So we'll get into the details of all of this in the next segment. But Matt, the one thing I would ask you. There were some rumors about the Yankees potentially getting Robertson back, but I didn't expect it to look like this.
Well, they're building a super bullpen, you know, considering that their starting staff isn't, you know, that deep or that good. So that's a positive. I mean, the White Sox GM said, you know, this trade wouldn't have happened without Tommy Canley. So that's the guy that I think the Yankees are really excited about. And the thing that's understated in this trade is the removal of Tyler Clippard from the Yankees bullpen and how terrible he's been.
He was going to get removed one way or the other. Yeah. He's been brutal.
It is Moncada time, baby, so let's go.
Yeah, so Yoan Moncada is the guy who we obviously talked about a lot during spring training. When is he going to get called up? Today's the day. You'll see him soon. He'll be getting all kinds of at-bats for the rest of the season. So we'll talk about his potential impact. As Scott mentioned, a lot of people shifting around in bullpens. What roles are they going to take as we move forward? And a huge piece of injury news for the Houston Astros. We'll come back, break that down after the break. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning for the next 2 hours on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year. Much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
We're back on the Roto Experts. Mike Blewett, Matt Modica, Scott Engel. Hit us up on Twitter today at FNTSY Radio and give us a call at 84FNTSY. You probably need some advice today because there's a lot of moving parts in Major League Baseball today. We're obviously going to talk some football later in the show as well. But baseball rules the beginning of the show because of the players that were moved. As Scott said, you can go to rotoexperts.com in order to make sure you get breakdowns of all of these moving trade pieces. Mike Waterloo did a lot of takes on these players. So we'll give you exactly what you need this morning. I want to back off the trades for a second and talk about the Carlos Correa news, which was finalized yesterday. He's out 6 to 8 weeks, having surgery on that injured thumb, correct?
That's correct.
All right,
and so, I think it's going to be more towards the 8 weeks.
Yeah. So obviously it kind of puts a damper on his MVP campaign, Scott, but you know, the Astros are no worse for wear. Look, in the long term.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you here, but yes. you touched a nerve. I don't care about Correa winning an MVP. That does nothing for me. I'm not an Astros
fan. He's not on Scott's fantasy
team. He is on my AL-only fantasy team. He is my first-round pick and the reason why I was in third place in the first place. This is a big, big loss. There's not really any way to replace him, you know, unless you can swing some sort of massive deal where you have some other surplus. I will say this, though. Marwin Gonzalez is probably going to play regularly at shortstop, even though they killed up this other kid from the minors. And Marwin Gonzalez, he's been kind of streaky, but he's put up some pretty good numbers. With Marwin Gonzalez guaranteed pretty much close to regular playing time now. He could be a free agent in a few leagues, actually. I would pick him up. The guy's hit for surprising pop this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think George Kurtz last night made a really good point on the Black Book. Is Correa droppable now? Because if say it's going to be the 8 weeks, the Astros really don't need to rush him back. Maybe they just want to get him a couple of weeks of at-bats, take their time with him. So if he comes back and, you know, it's the final 2 weeks, or if you're in a head-to-head league where, you know, playoffs start and all that, and that ends a week shorter, it's, you know, if he's out the full 2 months, you're really only going to get maybe 10 games, 15 games tops. So that's something to think about.
It depends on, where you are in the standings. And if you're in contention, you can't cut him because those final 10 to 15 days are going to be important. And then the other thing is, you know, it's like some of us have DL spots, and we're lucky with that.
I'm not advocating just go out and cut him. But I think it is a topic that does need to be discussed.
Does,
you know, because you can't have an assumption that when Correa comes off the DL that he pulls what Schwarber pulled in the playoffs last year, and he's on fire as soon as he comes off the DL, right?
Still, I'll take the crack over probably anything else I have.
But he'd be easily
the best player on any waiver wire, right? By quite a wide margin. It's the biggest injury in Major League Baseball this year, with the exception of Mike Trout. I suppose the Freddie Freeman injury is in that mix, too, because he was playing so well.
But, you know, the Astros at least have the luxury with their lead and all that stuff. So that's why I'm saying I don't see them rushing him back. I mean, I'm going to think it's going to be more towards the 8 weeks that he'll be out. And you could put Bregman, slide him to short. Maybe Gariel goes to third. And Marwin Gonzalez, as Scott said, is definitely, if he's out there, he's a guy you do want to own.
Talking about keeping Bregman at third and playing Marwin at short.
Gonzalez went 1-for-4 last night. Altuve 3-for-4 last night. They were no worse for wear. They picked up another win last night. Shocking. 6-2, Stroh's win. Peacock goes 8-1 on the season, throws 7 innings, 1 earned run. Not a guy we've talked about all that
How
much.
How many did he strike out last night?
Last night,
I think he had like, 8. I mean, Peacock and Mike Fears. I mean, Mike Fears was just giving up home runs at like an insane pace early in the season.
Not just this season, too.
And then the last couple of months, the last month or so, he's really turned it on. And Peacock has been a godsend. He started out when he got into the rotation, obviously, making that transition from the bullpen, was going like 4 innings or so. But he's proven to be a really nice boom to that rotation. Joe Musgrove is now in the bullpen. So, I mean, if I'm the Astros, I'm still trying to get one more big. I want to see if Texas moves Darvish, who makes a move on that, if anybody does. I think that's the guy. I think the Dodgers should be in play for that. I think the Astros should. Hey, look, if the Yankees can get him without giving up, like, say, Frazier or something, the Yankees could sign him, too. Even if they get him, they got the money to sign him.
I'll get into the Yankee thing in a minute, just because I don't know how I feel about all of this personally. But Peacock, Scott, his last 3 outings, he's gone 6 innings in all 3. He's only given up 4 earned runs in 19 innings.
Yeah, it was a thing where they had to stretch him out originally for being a reliever. And now that he's there and, you know, talking about fires, he struck out 11 in his last start. But, you know, the Astros, as Matt has been saying all along, need another sort of arm there to seal things off for the playoff run. Who knows? You know, they could end up with a Verlander. They could end up with a Darvish, although Verlander is less likely, I believe, because it's in the same division. You know, maybe they get somebody from the National League. Maybe Garrett Cole gets traded over there. So I think the Yankees and the Astros are two teams you have to watch for starting pitching.
So you got Darvish, Cole, and obviously Sonny Gray's name has been out there a lot. Darvish is at the top of that list, yes?
Yeah, Darvish is definitely top of that list.
Right.
Cole would be second for me. I know he's been inconsistent and he's gotten blown up a couple times, but...
You're using contract as part of that?
Yeah, I mean, you do have him under control. I mean, Sonny Gray, to me, in the past, I think we might have seen his best seasons. I'm not saying he's not going to be a good pitcher going forward, but I think he's always had that narrow margin of error with his game, and I think that gets narrower and narrower. So I wouldn't mind getting Sonny Gray. I just wouldn't overpay for him.
Scott, Matt's what was the deal?
Did the Rays make a trade this week?
The
Rays?
Yeah.
The Rays are in talks.
No, they're in the talks. They didn't get
anybody. They're in talks. We touched on it a little bit yesterday. They're looking for bullpen help, potentially. Scott, Matt's a little scared of Sonny Gray. Do you feel the same way?
I think so. It's like I said, if he ended up in Yankee Stadium pitching a contact, you just never know what can happen, in that ballpark. And look, the ball can fly out of the park in Houston, too. If Sonny Gray goes to the National League, like say he ends up on the Dodgers, I'd feel better about it.
Yeah, I agree. Good point there, Scott. And the Dodgers definitely need another pitcher, too. As much as I love Alex Wood and all that, Alex Wood, come October, could be fatigued. He's not a guy that's routinely thrown the 200 innings. We've seen it with Jake Arrieta a couple of years ago.
They are taking him out of games, though.
They are, but still, having to go, it's not like last season he threw 180 and, was on every fifth day taking the ball. So, we saw it with Arrieta in 2015. He had that great season, and he got fatigued come the playoffs. He was not the same pitcher in the playoffs as he was in the season. So,
ask you guys a trivia question. The Dodgers, combined with Wood and Kershaw, when is the last time they lost a game with either of those two guys starting?
Jeez.
Wood hasn't lost
this
season.
Mid-May.
Wood hasn't lost this season. I think Kershaw lost in Colorado earlier this year.
May 1st. It's 25 straight starts with those two pitchers that they
have not
lost.
Was it in Colorado?
I'll double check that for you. But I heard that this morning. Pretty incredible.
I'm pretty sure he lost in Colorado. And I think the Mets beat him once.
Possible, yeah.
That might have been the last time that. Remember when the Mets beat Kershaw earlier this year? I'm pretty sure they did.
That feels like years ago.
I think Colorado and
Michael Wach is doing complete game shutouts against.
I'm gonna check this out. Hold on.
I don't want to beat you guys up on that. Let's get back to the trades for a second. We'll keep going around because there's a lot to
Kershaw's
discuss.
Game log.
Yeah, that's fine. But let me talk about the J.D. Martinez trade. We don't know too much about these players yet, right? We'll look into it. We'll try and find out a little bit more about it. But J.D. Martinez...
According to what Waterloo said, none of them were top 25 prospects coming into the year.
But he's a rental anyway, right?
Yeah.
He's a rental, but still, I thought, maybe instead of getting three prospects, you get one really good... I don't know. I thought... And I'm gonna give George Kurtz even some more praise this morning.
I'm sorry. He lost to San Francisco. We also lost to Colorado earlier this year.
He made the point, too, last night. It wasn't that they had to make this trade today or yesterday, whatever it was last night. They could have waited to make this move at the end of the month, seeing what else is out there, seeing if a contending team lost an outfielder or another bat. So, I don't know these players, so I'm going to be straight out. I'm pretty good on the prospects that are up and coming for that given season. I'm not going to deep dive into, A-ball and stuff like that.
None of these guys are older than 22. It's Deuel Lugo, Sergio Alcantara, and Jose King. None of them are older than 22.
I'm just surprised they didn't get a pitcher back. The Tigers, I think, need some young pitching that they would want to influx here. And
Scott, fantasy, from a fantasy perspective, this type of trade is the one that's... was a lot of people feared, right? You could potentially lose a player because he goes from AL to NL.
Yeah, if you're playing a mono league, this is what happens, but it's a great pickup for the Diamondbacks. I don't know if people expected him to contend this year, but they're leading from that wild card. And, just real quick, what I want to say is, if you're a Diamondbacks fan or a Yankees fan, you feel good this morning. Like, When a guy gets traded to your team and then they're in contention, you always feel good. It's a sense of renewal. It's a sense of excitement. And we can talk more about this after the break and how that translates into fantasy. I want to make a point about that.
We absolutely will. I got some thoughts about the Yankees trades. I don't know that I'm all that thrilled. Mike, Matt, Scott, Roto Experts will be back after the break to talk more trade talk.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
On the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We spent the entire break talking about the Yankees and Scotty playing us in air drums. Spent the entire break talking about the Yankees and my thoughts on the deal, so we'll get to that in a minute. We talked about JD Martinez. I wanted to go back to you, Scott, because you had a point to make about trades within the fantasy world specifically. We're talking about MLB trades, but how they can impact your teams and how it relates to fantasy. So go ahead.
Just a lot of times, like if you're a Diamondbacks fan this morning, you're excited. You know, they got JD Martinez. They're making a push. There's a sense of renewal. There's a new sense of hope. And that's why, and I know Matt doesn't agree with this, and I respect where he comes from, because everybody feels different about it. And I'll play in leagues with trades or no trades. There are always problems that can come up with when you have trades in leagues, but this is why I love trading in fantasy sports. This is why I love fantasy sports in general, because you get that same personal feeling of renewal and new hope when you make a trade, you know. And I think that's why people do it in fantasy. I think that's why people love trading. Yes, there are problems that come with it, but if I had to pick a no trade league versus a trade league, I'm going to take the trade league every time. Now, I respect people that, you know, that like Matt, who like don't like trade leagues. We all feel different. I like trade leagues. I will play in, you know, the NFFC, the NFBC, where there are no trades, but I always like the feeling of like getting a superstar player, filling a need, and having my outlook being refreshed. That's something I've always enjoyed about fantasy sports and about trading and fantasy in general. I think that's some people go overboard with it, too. It's like Dave Richard of CBSSports.com is the most maniacal, addicted trader I have ever dealt with. He starts at the draft by trying to trade draft picks. I've seen him make 3-4 trades in a week where it's like your head is spinning and like you're overdoing it. You don't even know, like, you can't even settle on a team and an ideal roster at some point. So some people go crazy. They're addicts, but I just love it.
Yeah, I think it's good to add some excitement to the mix. But Matt, as an alternative perspective, your thoughts on, you don't really love to trade so much. You'd rather just draft it and play it out?
Well, what I've gotten for it, look, I used to be the guy that made the most pickups, the most trades in the leagues. And, you know, depending upon your league, whether it's just a straight redraft or keeper, you know, there's people that are going to complain about trades all the time. They're going to say it's collusion because they don't want anybody else making a move, especially like this time of the year, or you're trading with a team that's in, like, say, ninth place and you're in second place. People don't like that neither. I just think it's become like too much of a headache for me. I never thought I would like a non-trading league, but I actually love it. And I think it really makes your draft and how you spend that fab supremely important. It really puts the emphasis on that. And I think a lot of people in trade leagues, like Scott was just mentioning, make too many trades. You get caught up in it, and you want to like, oh yeah, and then you're trying to trade everybody, and you know, you make one move, and somebody gets hurt. Oh, I gotta go out and make another trade, and I don't know. I'm not condemning it. You look, as long as you're playing fantasy baseball, I'm happy. However you want to do it. You don't like wins. I like wins as opposed to quality starts. I know I might be in the minority of that, but that's how I like to play. That's what the leagues I play in use, so I don't have a problem with that. So whatever, you know, however you want to do it, I'm fine with just play fantasy baseball.
You got to be level-headed about it, though, as he talked about. I feel I'm very level-headed about it. When I lost Trout earlier this year, it felt like it was a big blow, but my season wasn't over. And Matt was like, you know what, Scott, you got to go out and see what you can get for it. And I got Andrew Benintendi and Kevin Pillar, and I felt like I could still contend instead of losing a big piece. I got two pieces back for somebody, you know, Sussman, who was willing to take Trout. And boom, there was my renewed sense of hope. Now, I just made another deal, two deals in the last 2 weeks to pick up Gene Segura and Jared Dyson, you know, to help my speed. But right now I'm standing pat. Unless I can see something, maybe where I can add another closer in my big money league, the Greenwich Street Tavern, I'm pretty happy with my roster.
Yeah,
I think you have to get to a point where you say, okay, I can live or die with this.
And you had Mike Trout, now you no longer have him. He hit a home run last night, as did Bryce Harper. They both hit home runs in the first inning. But, you know, you moved on from it. That's a big trade to make, though.
Look, I'm still within. I still have 82 points. I'm not dead. I feel like if I didn't make a trade, I could be dead right now.
And just to jump on this real quick, I mean, people, the whole interleague thing, you got to love it when you're seeing Mike Trout and Bryce Harper play.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that.
I agree, yeah. They both go hard in the first inning last night. So just tremendous, you know, two of the most high-profile players, certainly the two highest-profile young players.
I feel like Harper's starting to become the face of baseball. Like, he's out there in a lot of advertisements. He's playing well again. You know, they were miking him up at the All-Star game.
I think him personally.
I think he's trending towards. I'm skeptical on actually just how I feel about liking him, because, you know, when I'm in the clubhouse, if you're not like a big time reporter, it's like he's very skeptical of speaking to you.
I think Harper's personality lends himself to that. I think Mike Trout is more of the subdued, laid-back kind of guy. And I think we overlook Trout at times because he's just so damn good, so consistent. It's
taken for granted.
You know.
He's taken for granted. I had this discussion with George Kurtz, who I host with on the weekend, Saturday and Sundays, and I said the same about Kershaw. Like, when Kershaw pitches, I make a point to watch him now, because I think people are taking for granted that one of the best pitchers of all time is just
I totally
setting
agree
him
that.
Up and knocking him down every time out there. So I really do make a point to watch him. So let me get back to the trades a little bit. We talked about JD Martinez, so you got to be careful if you lost. Obviously, if you lost him, our apologies to you. There's nothing you can do about it, but hopefully you're able to retain his stats for the remainder of the season. Talk about the Yankees deal for a second, Matt. So they get David Robertson, Todd Frazier, Tommy Conley for Blake Rutherford, Ian Clark, and Tito Polo, and Tyler Clippard. So a little bit of addition by subtraction, getting rid of Clippard, who was struggling horribly in the last month. Blake Rutherford is the big piece there. He was a first-round draft pick just a year ago. They obviously add power at third base. They only have 4 home runs out of third base, all by Chase Headley. It's the lowest total in the majors. They obviously get David Robertson, who's a former Yankee. He slots into what will likely be... So let's sort out the Yankees' bullpen. Chapman stays as the closer. Betances stays as the eighth-inning guy. You throw Dave Robertson into the seventh-inning role and Tommy Conley into the sixth-inning role. Is that how you expect it to shake out?
I mean, maybe they'll do that, but I think Canley's been the better pitcher than Robertson. But, you know, either way, they are setting themselves up for the playoffs. Like, teams like Houston and Washington, say the Dodgers, those teams we know are all going to be there. So that's different. What the Yankees are doing is they don't have that depth at starting pitching. So come playoff time, if they make it in, they're going to have, you know, they need their pitcher to go 5 innings right now. I mean, he can even go, like, in the fourth, they can start putting guys in. As you saw it last season, like, you can use bullpen guys in extended roles. Francona did a wonderful job with that. You can't do that throughout the season, because you'll just burn these guys out.
Yeah.
Now, if the Yankees can pull a deal off and get another arm in that rotation, I think it sets them up very well. If I'm a Yankee fan, I want them to go. Look, you want to keep Clint Frazier, but if you can, you know, make a deal, solidify this rotation a bit, you have this bullpen, I'm pretty happy.
I mean, they can't go halfway now, Scott. They've made their decision that they're going for this year. They can't go halfway. They have to go out and get a starting pitcher now, correct?
Look, they're still in contention. I don't think their fans are gonna want any less. I think they'll pick up another starting pitching. I wouldn't surprise if they end up with Lucas Duda or Justin Bour or Yonder Alonso.
Yeah, so there's rumors about the Yankees getting Gray and Alonso fulfilling two needs that they have. So.
I would go for Gray if I was there.
Pitcher Lucas Duda at Yankee Stadium. That would be scary.
Yeah, like the batting average wouldn't even matter.
Yeah.
You know?
He's an on-base percentage guy. Yeah. He would walk. I don't know if he's a fit for the Bronx. I think Bour would probably embrace the Bronx. Knowing the personality of both guys, and Bour is like a fun-loving guy. I knew that even before the home run contest, you know, because I would talk to him. Big fantasy football player, very jovial guy in the clubhouse. His teammates like him a lot, you know. Whereas, dude is more of a loner, doesn't like to really talk to the press. You know, I don't know if the Bronx would be for him.
So here's my thoughts, just as a Yankee.
By the way, Todd Frazier, mm-hmm. great clubhouse guy.
Yeah.
It also improves the chemistry.
Jersey guy too. He's obviously, to those that didn't know, he won the Little League World Series famously during the 2001 World Series. He had a picture with Derek Jeter down on the field. They got to be all stars together. So it's cool for him to come home. Obviously.
Yeah, you're gonna see that picture nonstop over the next 24 hours.
So here's my thoughts, real quick, as a Yankees fan on this. So when Pineda got hurt, I thought, well, they already need a starting pitcher. Now they need two. I think they just settle in now, play this season out. They were already a year ahead of schedule, and let's just play it out, get some young guys up, get some at-bats. And now they've turned on that, obviously. But now they can't go halfway. Like I said, they have to get a starting pitcher, at least one.
Why would you want them to? I mean, look, I mean, they have a very nice farm system, but if you trade those are assets right now. Yeah. If you move those assets and you're proven major leaguers, all you got to do is get into the playoffs. You get into the playoffs, you're building a super bullpen, get one more arm, and you got a really solid offensive team. You can get one of these bats, like a Duda or somebody, to play first base. They're not going to get raped over the coals for somebody like that.
Yeah. Any further thoughts, Scotty?
Not really. I think it's all been covered pretty well. You know, they're just waiting to see what happens next. But, you know, this is a lot to absorb what happened last night. The Yanks went in big time, and we knew that the White Sox were going to be big sellers all along. You know, let's see who comes up for them now. You know, Ronaldo Lopez struck out a dozen over the weekend, I think in like seven innings. He could be next.
Big Sexy didn't get it done last night against the Yankees.
He hasn't been getting it done since he left the Mets.
Yeah, that's true. Gregorius went deep on him. Yankees pick up pretty big win for them. So, Scott, Matt, Mike, back after the break. Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Down. as our trade talks cool down.
Praise be Jesus.
Scott, I forgot to throw Matt under the bus because I was texting with him yesterday. I need to fix my team. And I just needed to... I need to pick up saves. I'm not going to win the category, but I'm trying to get to a certain point, maintain a certain level, maybe pick up 6-7 points in this league. And he's like, Tommy Conley. He's like, that's guy. He's like, that's the guy you want because you're going to move Robertson. And I'm like, you
that's
know,
not
that's
what he told me. He told you. He told me. He said, to Mike Anthony Swarzak.
He did not.
I actually had a bid
this
past weekend on Swarzak in my AL only league, and we tied, and I'm in first, so I lost out. Mm. And now it looks like he's probably going to be the closer there.
Yeah, he's probably already gone.
I got $2 left in my AL only league, like a $100 cap. It's all going for Swarzak.
Yeah. So.
Good luck with that, Scotty.
Yeah.
So
I might win him. There's a lot of $0 bids in that league.
So, in any event, there's obviously a lot going on. The one name I guess I wanted to mention before we transition over to a new topic is Jonathan Lucroy. Seems like he's being shopped now. He was in the lineup for 4 straight days. He's been in and out of the lineup until the last 4 days. He's been in there every day. I have him on my team. He's obviously been a disappointment, as George Kurtz says
big
over and over again.
Yeah,
as George Kurtz has said over and over, don't pay for catchers. He hates catchers. Don't pay for catchers. I paid for Lucroy, and I'm paying the price for paying for Lucroy. So, I mean, any destinations that you think are possible for him? It's difficult to pick teams out of a hat, but it does seem like they really want to move him. You were mentioning Chirinos earlier in the show.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I'm a team that can upgrade my catching, and it depends on what, you know, Texas wants back in return. What's the price for Lucroy going to be? Chirinos, for me, was a guy that I added a couple of months back. I was like, you know what? He doesn't play every day. But when he gets in there, he hits homers. He's not really going to kill me. And in a two catcher 15 team league, he's been solid for me, and he's been getting more playing time. And I think Texas is this is a big week for Texas next 7 days or so. Because if I'm them, I think they really should be making moves.
But the Red Sox.
I think the Red Sox, well, you know, they wanted it. The question with the Red Sox is they can go out and really get whoever the hell they want. But
yeah.
I wouldn't be trading. I don't know. This kid Devers looks pretty damn good.
Is Cleveland in the mix at all? I mean, you know, the Yan Gomes is not doing too good for them.
Yeah, no, that would you know, that would possibly be a nice landing spot for him. So I like that one a lot, yeah. Scotty.
Wasn't that on the table last year, and
he
vetoed it?
But
or was that 2 years
ago? Everybody's got to understand why Lucroy vetoed it. He didn't want it. He wanted to be able to become a free agent.
Yes.
And look, if you have a job, if you got to put yourself in that situation. So for him, I'm never going to berate somebody for, you know, wanting to be able to go out on the open market and stuff like that.
They wanted him to sign an extension.
Yeah, like, you know, fantasy people sometimes get a little too nuts and stuff. They get a little crazy. Like when Carlos Correa got hurt the other night, I seen people saying, oh, he's the biggest piece of shit or something like that. I'm like, well, because the guy didn't get busted for steroids or anything. He got hurt swinging the thing. So, you know, that happens. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, sometimes I'll be on the front lines, you know, in the clubhouse, and I'll ask people what... You always hear me asking that question, what do you think of fantasy sports? And sometimes guys won't go on the mic and say this. They'll tell me off the record, I hate fantasy sports. I said, why? I said, because the people who play it can be so nasty on social media. Like, if I don't do well or I get hurt, people are just like... And we've seen these rip jobs, especially with the football players. And I say, you know, I tell them, I said, look, I'm here standing in front of you representing the fantasy industry. I don't endorse that. In fact, I'm the opposite, because I tell these guys, I said, without you doing what you do, I can't do my job.
I feel the same way.
So it's for fun. I tell our listeners, you know, don't attack these guys, because I've always said it. And even my co-hosts back in the days would say, don't go on social media and attack these guys, because we wouldn't have these freaking hobbies if it wasn't for them.
Yeah, but let's hear this out. I totally agree. You shouldn't be going on social media and attack. But listen, there's going to be trolls out there. And if people do it, you know what? If you're a player, whatever professional sport it is, I understand it's going to piss you off. But you just got to be bigger than that, better than that.
It's part of the deal.
Yeah.
But everybody's different. Sometimes it will get under certain people's skin.
Okay, but you're going to be, if you're going to be in the public eye, you're going to be a high profile person, you got to be able to take that kind of stuff. You got to be man enough, woman enough, however you want to put it, to be able to say, you know what, this is some troll. I got to just walk away from it. You know, it's like a pro athlete at a bar. If somebody wants to challenge him to a fight, you got to walk away. You got to have, you know, one of your boys step in and, you know, defuse the situation.
I think it depends on the person. I think, look, you don't go crazy over it. And I do agree with you to a great extent. You realize if it's a troll. But if it does bother somebody, I think that's legitimate.
I can understand you wouldn't want the added heat on social media. I actually understand that. But as Matt says, like, it's part of the deal. For instance, if you're the governor of a state and you catch a foul ball at a baseball game and you get booed, you got to deal with it, which happened last night.
Yeah, I'm saying there's a certain extent. You know, if, like, if you go 0-4... And I say, if you, oh man, you killed my fantasy team. Oh well, you got to take that. But I say, you know what? You went 0-4. You killed my fantasy team. I hope you and your family die. You know, that's different.
Yeah, but that guy's a jerk.
There's you know, a holes everywhere. Yeah. You want to laugh real quick?
But I'm saying, when that kind of stuff happens, though, I'm here talking about this because we get a reputation as a fantasy community that's undeserved because there's lots of us that don't do it.
Don't go on Twitter. You know, if you can't handle it, don't go on Twitter. Okay, you got to be an adult. You got to know what, and you can take stuff. And you know, look, don't be in the public eye. Don't go on Twitter. You know,
all three of us are sitting here.
I think everybody's not different, advocating. Though. It's like it upsets some people.
You're
always of the mindset like you know what? Matt's always of the mindset. You know what? You know, just like you know, it's like ignore it. You know, just don't. But not everybody's wired like that.
But you have to be. You are a professional athlete. You are in the public eye. You are a high profile person.
Okay. Every human being is different, though. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying you can't be upset.
Sometimes you can't control whether it bothers you or not.
Don't have a Twitter account, and you won't see that stuff. That's all.
I don't think it's as cut and dry as that. Sometimes you want to be on Twitter for other reasons.
You are a little more emotional. You tend to, you know, you can't be like that, Scott. You just can't. Whether it's sports, politics, you want to be, or an actor, or whoever you want to be, you know, let people talk. What do you give a shit
about?
Yeah,
I'm more emotional, but you're like, oh, you're
on
like,
Twitter,
you're
giving you stuff.
But you're like I hate political correctness. Just let everybody be like they're going to be. So that's an example of both of us. I'm saying there's different people out there.
The real world out there is a tough world. Okay?
We know that.
Stop sugarcoating. We know that.
We know that. But what I'm saying is not everybody feels and acts like you. Everybody's different. And if it upsets somebody, that's legitimate.
You can get upset. That's fine. I'm not telling you can't get upset.
No, you say don't go on social media.
Okay, Scott, you have to.
Would you boo the governor? Would you boo the governor if he caught the foul ball?
Oh,
Chris Christie got booed last night.
Yeah, I mean, look.
He would say to the governor, put on earmuffs, don't listen.
Hey, look at Chris Christie. This guy goes, look, I'm not a big fan of Chris Christie, but, you know, he's like the one person that it's like socially acceptable to make fat jokes of.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else would do it. Anybody else, that's wrong, but you can do it to Chris.
It's kind of a little unfair because his approval rating's gotten so low that I think everybody's on board with just pounding on the guy for one reason or another. Well, good debate there, guys. So I think we're at odds. I think we can move forward with a new discussion. We're going to talk football in the second hour. We've talked a lot about the trade talks today. I mean, ultimately, your teams are going to have a lot of moving parts. If you're in only leagues and you lost JD Martinez, so be it. I'd steal yourself if you're a Yu Darvish owner or a Sonny Gray owner or several other players that are out there. I want to ask you both, since you're Mets fans, did last night kind of feel like the white flag game?
The white flag.
He threw up the white flag on April 1st.
No, I threw it up for the division, and I was correct. Yeah. But you guys want to laugh? I sent Tony Cincata a text at 7:30 last night about the GST League and some other people want to get in, some high-profile people. I finally got a... He finally replied to me at 7:45 this morning. Who is this?
Who the hell is this?
I cannot make that draft on the 20th, so I'm bummed. But George and I were going to split a team there, but I can't. I'm supposed to be away with my family. So
that's become quite the
You're not going to get George to come into the city.
He was willing to do it. He asked me.
Really?
Yes.
Every year he's like, I don't want to be there. Yeah.
That was the amazing part. George asked me. He's like, you want to do this? You want to get in?
Yeah, you guys should have been in this.
Every year we do the GST, we can't get George to come in.
I was 100% in, but, you know, everybody's got a boss, right? My boss said no.
I hear you.
So I'm supposed to be away with the family that day. So in any event, I won't be in that league. Hopefully I'll get in. Or George can do it. I told him, I was like, if you want to do the draft solo, I'll share the team with you. I just can't make the draft.
Right.
A draft is the fun part, right? A couple of adult beverages.
Yeah, we're going to have some delicious food over at the Greenwich Street Tavern.
You got great wings there.
So the Greenwich Street Tavern is a league where Chris Vaccaro, who has broadcast with us, he's a high-stakes player, similar to Matt, right? You've competed against him before, and he hosts it at his restaurant, bar restaurant, and it's a lot of fun. We have, obviously, fans get involved. We have some experts involved, and last year I remember breaking down that draft. It was a lot of fun, right, Scott?
Yeah, it is. For those, and it's a good explanation for people who don't know, maybe listening the first time, you know, it's like kind of like a fraternity thing. Like a lot of the local experts and listeners will get together at a local bar and we'll all have a league, you know, to hobnob which together. And, you know, if you haven't played fantasy football and you just want to come down and watch and hang out with us to see how a high level draft goes, you know, everybody's invited.
Yeah, I think the important thing to note there is that, look, we talk a lot here about the slow drafts that we're doing and experts drafts. I think the genesis of fantasy football is about getting some friends together, having a little bit of a party, and drafting live together. So this is harkens back to that time, and it's we really appreciate when people put together stuff like that. We're going to talk Roto Experts at the park after the break. Scott will intro when we come back. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Mike, along with Matt and George. We'll be back.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Man, we came back hard out of the break.
We went from hand jive to heavy metal.
Yeah, it's quite
born
a transition.
Born to hand jive, baby.
A little grease. Yeah, Scott, right? Brings you back. So we're the Roto Experts in the morning. We're here until 9, and then it'll be Fantasy Football Frenzy after that, 9 to 11. So I'll be here along with Matt Modica and Jake Seeley. But I wanted to intro Roto Experts at the Park, another edition with Scott Engel. And Scott, I believe you were talking to Trevor Story, correct?
Yeah, this is a fun time of the year. We do Roto Experts at the Park. I'll be going interview the St. Louis Cardinals today. Because a lot of the Major League Baseball players love to play fantasy football as much as we do, and it always makes for fun conversation, especially with Trevor Story, who revealed to me that he spent a lot of time reading the Exclusive Edge package last year, which is now available on rotoexperts.com. Enter the King promo code at checkout for a 20% discount. And I played a game with Trevor Story that maybe I'll try to play with Adam Wainwright tonight. I put them on the clock and asked him who they would pick in tough spots. And here we go with Trevor Story. Scott Engel of the Fantasy Sports Network here with Trevor Story of the Colorado Rockies. Trevor, we're going to play a little game called You're on the Board, because it's getting time to be fantasy football season. I want to see where your head is at. Okay. Derek Carr or Dak Prescott?
I'm going to go Derek Carr. I love Dak just because I'm a huge Cowboy fan, but I'm going to go Derek Carr.
Okay. Melvin Gordon or Jay Ajayi?
I'm going to go Melvin Gordon. You know, I like his bounce back year this last year, and I think he's legit. I believe in him.
Jordy Nelson or T.Y. Hilton?
PPR.
Oh, that's a tough. I'm going to go Jordy. I'm going to say because of Rodgers.
All right. Tight end, Tyler Eifert or Kyle Rudolph?
I'm gonna go Eifert because I think he's got the a bigger upside than Rudolph.
Back to quarterback. You say you wait a little longer. Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota?
I don't know. That's really a close one for me. I think I might take Winston because he's got some weapons.
All right. Now, if you listen to the rest of the interview on Audioboom, iTunes, Google Play, something very interesting I did with him. His fantasy baseball ADP was 35 this year. I found out who the current guy is on Fantasy Pros, who is the same ADP as him. I reveal it to Trevor Story, and we get his reaction.
All right. Sounds good. So, yeah. Good stuff there from Roto Experts in the Park, a regular series that Scott does with a lot of Major League Baseball players. And if you are listening to us, hopefully, as Nando DeFino says, you're not a weirdo, and you're doing it through the app. Free to download, free to listen, FNTSY Radio in iTunes Store or on Google Play.
And everybody that Scott interviews lately seems to be on fire, so maybe Trevor Story will turn the corner.
Yeah, but here's the interesting thing. It's like you hear... Because these guys are like average, you know, fantasy football players. It's, you know, Mark Reynolds sidled up and started asking me, you know, what I thought of Christian McCaffrey, you know, things like that. You know, baseball players love to play fantasy football. A lot of them, rather than playing cards, would like to study for their fantasy draft.
Doesn't it, Adam Wainwright run a big charity fantasy football?
Yeah, bigleagueimpact.org. Check it out. You know, the Mets will have David Wright.
Say we promoted that. And, you talked about it.
Bigleagueimpact.org. Yeah, they do it for charity. The Mets will be doing that in early September. You can check that out at Mets.com. David Wright does it every year. We go out and cover it. Maybe, Matt, you can come with me this year and check it out. But, you know, you hear they have the same tough decisions that all players do. He's like, wow, Jameis Winston versus Marcus Mariota, he said. That's a tough one.
You think Trevor Story trolls like Todd Gurley on Twitter?
Maybe.
Yeah. Hopefully not. You wouldn't support that. I wouldn't either.
I would.
Matt, it's like, just suck it up, Todd.
Yeah.
We're going to talk football when we come back.
Tough world.
We're going to come back in the second hour. We're going to talk about Sammy Watkins and Keenan Allen in a tweet that Matt sent out last night. It's good stuff. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, hour number two on the Roto Experts. Coming up after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Crescendo builds up. That sound is the sound of hour number two on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Scott Engel, Matt Modica, Mike Blewett here. The studio is now cooled down. We're at a reasonable temperature. We're going to talk more reasonably. When it was hotter in the first hour, these guys were getting hot with one another, arguing over Twitter and social media mores and customs. So I think we've sorted everything out here in the last half an hour or so. So
got to stop using all these big words. A cha-cha's going to tune out. You just can't follow.
It's just a bump in the road, though.
Morass.
It's like a speech.
Crescendo.
Yeah, sorry. Well, that's what I do, man. Yeah. That's what I do.
You write for RotoExperts.com.
I try to big league people with my vocabulary.
Yeah.
Just remember, America is a safe space.
It is a safe space, yes. And the RotoExperts hopefully is.
That's not what you said a little while ago.
No, it is. Like, people get all bent out of shape. Yeah. You know?
Matt doesn't really want it to be that safe, but it is.
No, so. He doesn't. Just take it.
In any event, hour number two, we're going to focus really on football. There was a lot to talk about with baseball in the first hour. Obviously, you can go to rotoexperts.com for continued coverage on the trades that have happened and are going to happen. Michael Waterloo, really key component there for the in-season baseball coverage.
Yeah, check out his trade spins right now and also get the exclusive Edge fantasy football package on rotoexperts.com. Enter the King at checkout for a 20% discount. And find out the latest training camp battles broken down by our Brandon Murchison, who won an FSWA award last year for best football ongoing series.
All right, good stuff. So we're going to talk a lot about that. We talked a lot about Kirk Cousins, the franchise tag deal yesterday. But I started thinking about it more and more, about how dysfunctional the team is in general. They threw him under the bus. But what really I started thinking about after the show yesterday is not just that, but all the players and coaches that have left there recently. We obviously lost two high-profile wide receivers in Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson. Sean McVay leaves. He's obviously the youngest coach and head coach in football now. But was that potentially the quarterback whisperer to some extent that Cousins thrived on? Some people say it was Shanahan. Some people say it could be Gruden. But my point is that a bunch of people have left this organization. Does it put the Washington in a really tough spot in 2017?
I think what Kirk Cousins did is he kind of flipped the script on the Redskins and basically said, I'm not ready to. I didn't do a contract offer back to them.
Brilliant.
I'm not ready. I'm not sure where the franchise is going. So like you said, I think that's brilliant. I think Cousins, you know, from what he's gotten from Shanahan, the McVay, and all these people, I think he's ready for another big year.
Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Get Scott's thoughts on Washington. I want to talk about a tweet that Matt Modica sent out last night regarding Keenan Allen and Sammy Watkins. It's an interesting comparison. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's all football for the second hour. Mike, Matt, and Scott. We'll be back. In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount. Forgive me while I pick up Anthony Swarzak here. Drop Tommy Canely, which I picked him up yesterday. I've been saying Conley. That's my fault. It's Canely. That's confirmed. So long, Canely. Hello, Swarzak. Can't wait to get my four saves for the rest of the year because the White Sox aren't going to win anything. But I need what I need in my baseball league. So, Scott, I'll throw it back to you. Washington. I don't know that they're spiraling out of control like we talked a little bit yesterday that the Panthers could be, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. They've lost some players. They've lost some coaches. Cousins flipped the script on them, perfect way to put it, as Matt said, because he put it on them. He's like, well, you're not ready to commit to me. I'm not ready to commit to you. Yay. I am breaking up with you, as they said in the Seinfeld episode many years ago. I have hand. I am breaking up with you. So, thoughts there? Like, is this a team that is really going in the wrong direction? Is it going to get all blown up because of this Cousins thing?
Yeah, but it's still going to be useful fantasy-wise and entertaining on the field. I don't think the linebackers are pretty good, but I'm concerned about, you know, what kind of pass rush they'll get and how good the secondary is going to be overall, even though they do have Josh Norman. I think they're going to play in a lot of high-scoring affairs. I think they still have a good offensive line, and Samaje Perine is a good fit behind that line, I think. Maybe actually better than Fat Rob. Terrell Pryor is going to be in the red zone for them. You know how good Jordan Reed is going to stay healthy. And look, if Kirk Cousins is going to want to get his money, he's going to have to throw a lot. So, you know what? I'm not a Washington football fan necessarily, so I don't care about that. What I care about is fantasy-wise. What our listeners care about is fantasy-wise. This drama may actually be good for fantasy because Kirk Cousins knows in order to make his money, honey, he's going to have to throw the football, all right?
I mean, 5,000 yards is on the table for Cousins. It was nearly hit it last year, Matt.
Yeah, no, I'm all in on Cousins from a fantasy perspective. He's my number seven quarterback. He's, him and Jameis was my debate earlier, but I'm going with Kirk Cousins here. And I do like the Terrell Pryor addition. And I think he's going to see an increase in his touchdowns this year. I think he's going to be the red zone guy along with Jordan Reed. And like Scott said, it's good for fantasy. If they're in high-scoring games, it's going to be good for fantasy. And that's the way they're going to win games, is by throwing the ball.
There's certain defenses I feel in the NFC. It's like I see people online making their predictions for the the NFC and let's say the Cowboys and the Packers, because everybody judges everything by offense. I don't think the Cowboys or the Packers have a Super Bowl caliber defense. But those are teams that are good for fantasy because they're going to get involved in a lot of shootouts. I think Washington's another one of those teams. I'm not going to expect them to win the conference. I think Dallas is overrated. I think the Packers might be overrated, and I'm going off on a little bit of an NFC champion, NFC tangent. I think Atlanta, the Giants, and Seattle might actually be the class of the NFC this year.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think that's totally reasonable. To your point about their defense, Scott, Washington, four of their first five picks, along with Samaje Perine, were on the defensive side of the ball. Jonathan Allen, Ryan
Anderson.
That takes
time to gel, though. Those are rookies.
We saw that with Jacksonville last year.
Totally agree.
Everybody was trying to anoint Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, they're addressing it, but it's not. I wouldn't consider it solved by any means. So they're doing what they can, but clearly. So here's my concern about Pryor, because he's talked about a lot. It's still perplexing how he only got the deal that he got. I would think that's maybe an agent miscalculating the market on him. But ultimately, we do not often see wild success from wide receivers changing teams. Somebody like Brandon Marshall is more, and Emmanuel Sanders to some extent, is more the exception than the rule. Because wide receivers moving from place to place don't always succeed in a big way, Matt.
But maybe it was he took the one-year deal here in Washington because of the offense that they have, the quarterback, the established quarterbacks that is there. And if he has a season, which I think he's possibly capable of having, then he sets the market for himself next year. And, you know, somebody has to – I'm just laughing at a text sent by Corey Parsons. But, I just see this kid as somebody that's just making the progressions. You know, he's making the transition from quarterback to wide receiver. I mean, that's a hell of a transition to make in the NFL. And the talent's there. We saw it on a team with bad quarterbacks last year, that what he was able to do. And okay, the end of the season, that team just was a total dumpster fire, the Browns. So I like Pryor. I'm not going to overreach on Pryor in draft. I've seen him go as high as 20th overall in high stakes leagues and 25th overall. That's way too rich for me. But, you know, end of the third, fourth round, I'm in. But
and I was reading one of the Cleveland beat guys, and he said Pryor's a big loss for them. His hour is pointing up, and they're going to regret letting him get away.
For the Browns.
Browns.
Yeah, I look.
He wanted to stay in Cleveland. Who the hell wants to stay in Cleveland?
They down. I still wonder about that. I don't know if we're ever going to get the full story on that. Mm-hmm. It's too perplexing.
Yeah, I agree.
It's too perplexing the way it all worked out. They can't possibly sit there and say that Kenny Britt was a legitimate upgrade from Pryor, especially with the money that they gave him. None of us think that, do we?
No.
Right.
No, but look, Kenny Britt is pretty good. I mean, Kenny Britt's only 1 year older than...
I know.
So, I mean, I like Kenny Britt. I think he's one of the best values you're going to find in the wide receiver market.
You get him in like the 11th, 12th round of some drafts, and you're talking a mainstream draft. Not with us. He might even later.
Look what he did with the Rams last year. So, I mean...
Yeah, with Goff throwing the ball. So that's something to be said, but... You know, Pryor is he's ascending, whereas Britt, you kind of know, like, in the situation where he is, he's going to overachieve probably, but Pryor has more perceived upside.
Here's the point I want to hammer home.
He's more of a touchdown maker.
Here's the point I've been hammering, I'm going to continue to hammer it. That offense could have been an epic offense. It was the failure in the red zone. And once again, Jamison Crowder, who I love, I'm going to draft in the fifth round, love him in PPR. But he had 16 red zone targets, only 3 touchdowns. Those balls are going to start going to Terrell Pryor. And that's another reason why I'm so high on him as well. I think the touchdowns are going to go